Thanks for listening to our podcast. We've got more information and additional resources at probe.org/podcast. And be sure to check out our life-changing Summer Mind Games Camp for high school and college students.
What is apologetics? Well, you need it, and the Probe staff tells you why. Now, on Probe.
Apologetics is the defense of the Christian faith, generally speaking. That's the definition of the word, but that's about the extent of the agreement among Christian apologists. From this point on began many differences. Many well-informed Christians define apologetics differently. When it comes to how we defend the faith, there's a lot of discussion on the best method. When it comes to why we do apologetics, many disagree. Thoughtful Christians do not agree on the best place from which to begin defending our historic Christian faith, and we certainly don't all agree on who apologetics is for. That is, who is the intended recipient or beneficiary of our defense of Christianity. However, as we begin a discussion on these questions, it is important to keep in mind these differences occur among faithful Christians, sincere believers, and are well-intended. So these differences are not a salvation issue that belongs to faith in Christ. Airing out these differences, then, is a fulfillment of Proverbs 27:17. Quote, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another," end quote. It is our hope and expectation as the writers, therefore, that all Christians will be edified by this discussion, whether he has walked with Christ for 30 years or 30 days. In this radio program, we're going to hear from several Probe staffers answering the question, what is apologetics? So, you Probe fans out there are going to get to know us, Probe staff, better. First-time listeners, I hope you consider a perspective you may not have considered before. And for all of us, I hope that by considering these different perspectives, we all grow in the way we defend our faith and carry out the charge from 1 Peter 3:15. That's the passage of Scripture from which we derive our English word apologetics. It says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." End quote. Regardless of how we define apologetics, we are all still called to defend our faith. The point of this discussion is not the discussion itself. The point is to equip us by the Spirit in the action of defending our faith as we obey the call of our one common Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Paul Rutherford. Now that I've introduced the topic, next time we'll hear from Dr. Ray Bolin and how he defines apologetics.
This has been Probe with your hosts, well, a bunch of them. Your hosts are Paul Rutherford, Dr. Ray Bolin, Dr. Lawrence Terlizzese, and Rick Wade. To get your free copy of the staff's transcript, What is Apologetics?, go to probe.org/radio. And join us next time as we help you to think and live biblically here on Probe.
I'm Dr. Ray Bolin. This week, you'll become well acquainted with the idea that apologetics basically means defending the gospel or defending the faith. That's how I have always understood apologetics. But in my nearly 40 years with Probe Ministries, I understand that my defense goes in two directions, and I believe that to be the case for every believer. Apologetics was instrumental in my initial profession of faith while a college student at the University of Illinois. Though I was raised in a religious home, it was primarily a religion of duty and performance. But in my second year of college, I became aware that there was real evidence that the Gospels could be trusted and that Jesus was a real person who lived and died in early first century Israel. That made a huge difference in my willingness to consider Jesus that was never there before. That was just over 40 years ago, and evidences for the truth of the history of the Bible has always held a unique place in my thinking. As one trained as a scientist, I learned that data or evidence meant everything. Ideas are fine in science, but if you can't support your ideas with evidence, you're wasting your time. Therefore, finding real evidence for my faith put my own thoughts on solid ground. So it can be for every believer. We all struggle with trust in God and in His love for us. But if we are able to see that God fulfills prophecy, that His word is trustworthy in every respect, then we find it easier to trust God with our lives. The other direction for my defense of the faith is outward to other believers who have real questions and find themselves stuck in their walk with God. Their mind is full of doubts about God, creation, and redemption. While I make it clear that I cannot prove that God exists, I can string together evidences from science and philosophy to demonstrate that belief in God as creator is quite reasonable. And if the best evidence demonstrates that Jesus physically and historically rose from the dead, then everything he said can be trusted as well. This also applies to unbelievers who come with honest questions. Those outside the church have many reasons for not believing this rather fantastic story is true, especially when it all happened 2,000 years ago. There are definitely some unbelievers who ask their questions only to avoid getting down to business about Jesus. But initially, we can't judge a person's heart or motive. When we take those questions and doubts seriously and respond with gentleness and respect, both our manner and our answers can be used by the Spirit to draw someone to the Father. Tomorrow, you'll hear from Dr. Lawrence Terlizzese.
Hello, this is Dr. Lawrence Terlizzese. Apologetics is the most misunderstood word in the church today. Average churchgoer is relegated to a side category of their minds as a hobby horse for those smart Christians who are too cerebral and not practical enough. Apologetics appears to them as the playground of theologians, far removed from the lay Christian who thinks the true gospel ministry consists of just preaching the word. Theologians contribute to the popular aversion to apologetics through misrepresenting the discipline that is theoretical in nature as opposed to practical. Others separate apologetics entirely from theology. All theology is apologetics. It stresses the relevance of the gospel to the philosophical needs of a given culture, creating a synthesis. One definition states that systematic theology is answering theology. It must answer the questions implied in the general human condition and special historical situation. Apologetic theology supplies answers from revelation to the ultimate questions of a given social context, such as, what is the meaning of life? Apologetic theology maintains the integrity of the two poles of message and audience. It must never compromise the essential meaning of the gospel, nor can it neglect the spiritual needs of the society it wishes to reach through ignoring or ridiculing whatever ultimate question it presents. All theology is apologetics, and by extension, all that the church does is apologetically oriented. The adaptation of contemporary music in the worship service demonstrates an apologetic theology that takes the traditional message of the gospel of Jesus Christ and makes it resonant with the cultural needs of the younger generation. The same may be said with the use of film or artistic, religious, or philosophical expression. It asks the question, can individuals practice personal freedom and exercise the self-restraint necessary for a democratic society to survive? Revelation answers that in Christ, personal freedom is rooted in the love of God that provides necessary restraint. As its task, apologetic theology answers the world's questions with the Bible and proves practical and accessible to all Christians, trained in theology or not. It stresses the Bible's universal relevance to every individual, group, and circumstance or philosophical system.
Hi, this is Rick Wade, and these are a few thoughts of mine about Christian apologetics. In 1 Peter 3:15, we're told to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for your faith. The roots of Peter's exhortation can be found in Luke chapters 12 and 21, where Jesus tells his disciples what to do when persecutions come and they are called to give an account. In Luke 21:13, Jesus says something interesting. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. I see two main exhortations in 1 Peter, faithfulness and witness. Elaborate arguments and evidences can serve that, but defense ought to be conducted for the purpose of proclaiming Christ and winning the lost, not merely to prove Christianity true. To be done well, apologetics requires knowledge of at least basic Christian doctrines, familiarity with the opposing ideas people often hold, and the ability to discriminate between the true and the false. That said, it is crucial to understand that one doesn't have to be armed with a whole slew of arguments and evidences to bear witness for Christ. Jesus said to his apostles, "The Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say," Luke 12:12. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be learners. It means this is spiritual work, and the Spirit will accomplish his purposes through our best efforts. If we should attempt to persuade someone by making a case for the faith, we should begin with questions that are being asked rather than with our own pet arguments. The apologist might be having a grand time, but the person isn't hearing what he needs to know. apologists must be good listeners. A conversation with someone might call for evidences or reasons for belief, but also for Bible exposition or counseling or very pointed evangelistic prodding. The ultimate goal isn't winning the argument, but winning the person. Apologetics serves not only non-Christians, but Christians as well by clarifying the differences between Christian and non-Christian beliefs and by showing why our beliefs are intellectually credible. This should serve to strengthen our confidence and help us stand firm in what we believe. Tomorrow, Paul Rutherford will conclude this series by answering the question, "What is apologetics?"
Hi, I'm Paul Rutherford. When I tell someone I meet at church that I'm into apologetics, the most common response I get is, "Huh?" After I tell them what it means, perhaps the next most common response is, "What are you sorry for?" Inferring from the similar sound of apologetics to the word apology that I must be apologizing for something. Now, while the root word in Greek is the same for both words, apologia, these words in English have rather different meanings, so I will begin my turn at defining apologetics by clarifying what it is not. Apologetics is not being sorry for Christianity. Let's make that clear right now. I'm not sorry I'm a Christian. On the contrary, Christ is the source of all my boasting. He is the source of my joy in life. It is Christ who gives me purpose, meaning, and significance. No, apologetics is not being sorry for Christianity. Years ago, I had lunch with a friend one Sunday after church, and I explained to him what I do, apologetics. After using 1 Peter 3:15 to define it as making a defense for the faith, he responded by saying that our faith should not be defensive, but offensive. My friend got one thing right. Our faith does have an offensive component. But my friend also got one thing wrong. The command to defend our faith does not describe the entirety of our experience as a believer. This passage does not mean that our faith should be entirely defensive or even primarily defensive. We should, however, have the capacity to defend our faith. To conclude my definition in this series, I will share a recent change in my perspective over the years. When I first began studying apologetics years ago, I did it to seek affirmation of my convictions. And to be honest, I studied not to show myself approved, as commanded in 2 Timothy 2:15, but rather to satisfy a sense of self-righteousness. I did apologetics in order to show others I was right, and they were wrong. Scripture calls that pride. And although that's no longer my primary motivation, the struggle remains today. It's not that I no longer think I'm right. I do think the positions I hold are right. But as an apologist, my goals have changed. I no longer expect others to take the same positions I do. Now I desire others to think more biblically than they did before. My hope for you listening to this program is that your reasons for defending the faith are motivated more by Christ than by culture, and that by considering what it means to defend your faith, you are now a more confident ambassador for Christ.